Grant City Council. Today is Wednesday, June 27, 2012. It's 2 p.m. We have two time circles on the agenda today. 2 o'clock and 2:45. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Adams?
Here. My monitor is showing blue.
Let's see what I can do here.
If you're ready to get rid of pounds of body fat and weight, then call the number on your screen right now.
Is there, you have a screen? Do you have anything?
Great. All right, we're ready to go. As ready as we're going to be.
I've got a screen here.
Yes.
Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 784?
Amend code to reflect changes to limited tax exemption programs as recommended by the Limited Tax Exemption Policy Review Committee.
Second, a map was inadvertently left out of the documents submitted to Parliament. This map has been widely disseminated to the public, has been shared with council offices in the briefing, and does not contain any new information. Each of my colleagues has this map in their handout, and I would move both of these technical questions.
Second.
Third. Any discussion? Carly, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Fritz. I'm sorry. Fish? Adams.
Aye. Motion is approved. Thank you, Mayor. I have an opening statement, but I'd like to invite Chair Hogan to come forward. It's the courtesy of the House that we invite our elected first. And Jeff, if you can be patient for a moment, I want to make some introductory comments.
Go ahead. You bet.
Thank you, Mayor and colleagues. Today, we are asking Council to approve a package of updates to the limited tax exemption program. These updates will balance the program's cost and foregone revenue with the value to taxpayers of affordable housing and other public benefits the program encourages. The updates better align the LTE program with our community's goals for housing and improve its efficiency, accountability, and transparency. Portland is a growing and dynamic city. We are experiencing historically low vacancy rates for rental housing. At one point recently, we had the second tightest rental market in the country. As availability drops, rents go up. At the same time, transportation costs are also increasing, making it more important for people to have housing options near their place of employment. We all want a complete community. We want low-wage workers and families to be able to afford homes in neighborhoods across the town, from Cully and Lenz to South Waterfront and Hillsdale. We don't want to become another San Francisco, a city of rich and poor. The Portland Housing Bureau has a variety of tools to create housing choices for people priced out of the market. Some of these tools involve direct investment, dollars that we put into projects to help them pencil out. As we all know, the resources available to us for direct investment are shrinking. Tax increment dollars are drying up, federal funding is rapidly declining. In fact, one of the candidates for president has said he would abolish the Department of Housing and Urban Development, which is our primary source of federal funding. Other tools, like the Limited Tax Exemption Program, or LTE program we're discussing today, involve indirect investment in the form of foregone revenue. Rather than put a dollar into a project, we defer getting a dollar out of it. And the LTE program works by offering developers a break on their property taxes. For the improvements they make, typically the building, but not for the land itself. Only for including affordable apartments in their developments. But for selling new houses, the modest income buyers at a reasonable price. The LTE program is a small but effective tool that advances our equity agenda and promotes housing choice throughout our community. The Secretary of HUD recently said something very powerful about how housing fits into the larger conversation about the future of our communities, which I'd like to share with you. He said, "Our goal is to make sure that every neighborhood, no matter where it starts, is moving on the path to greater opportunity. That is a point that is too often lost. While we can have disagreements about means to an end, the end is really to get to integrated, vital neighborhoods of opportunity. It could be a neighborhood today that has opportunity but is closed to low-income families and families of color. It could also be the reverse, taking neighborhoods that have been cut off from opportunity and that have concentrated poverty, that we are moving on the path to becoming a neighborhood of greater opportunity." End quote. Now, our LTE programs are also anti-displacement. Capitalizes on development that's happening already in desirable, exciting neighborhoods, and offers developers a way to partner with us to make sure those neighborhoods are open to all. In a time of scarce resources, we must be thoughtful about the decision to forego revenue. In 2010, Multnomah County Chair Jeff Kogan and I launched the Big Look Project to evaluate these programs. And the LTE program is, in fact, made up of smaller individual programs. Three core values drove our work: better alignment between city and county goals, better efficiency, and more accountability. We formed a strong and diverse committee, which included our colleague, Commissioner Amanda Fritz, County Commissioner Deborah Bafori, and partners from the nonprofit community, private sector, and the Portland and David Douglas school districts. We brought the committee's preliminary recommendations to the council in a March work session, and we asked you to give us the okay to go ahead with public outreach. Kate Allen from the Portland Housing Bureau and staff from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability have spent the last few months taking these recommendations on the road. We got a lot of great feedback, which helped us refine the original recommendations. So the package before you today, we think, is even better. Today, we're proud to share with you what we feel is a comprehensive set of updates to this program. As I mentioned before, they'll add a new focus on accountability and transparency, ask more of our developer partners, balance the benefits of this program with the cost of foregone revenue. I want to publicly thank Jeff Kogan for his collaborative process and leadership. We can have a philosophical debate someday about who does what when it comes to the city and the county. But at the end of the day, a person struggling in our community simply doesn't care where the help comes from. They just need help. I'm very proud to have such strong county partners in our work to meet the housing needs of our community's most vulnerable. Jeff, thank you for your good work, and I'll turn the mic over to you.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams, members of council. For the record, I'm Jeff Kogan, chair of Multnomah County. You said it so well, Nick. If I was smart, I'd just say I agree. But I'm a politician, so I have to say something. I'd like to say, tax abatements can be fairly controversial, particularly in local governments that are so dependent on property taxes. The foregone revenue is a very significant issue, but they can also leverage goals that are very important to us. And this process that began about 2 years ago was really about just making sure that the tax exemption program that we have in place was working as it was intended to work and was furthering the goals that are our current goals and was in place in the locations that still made sense. And it was a very thorough process, went on very, very long time, but it was a good thing. The thoroughness really allowed us to make sure that we were both engaging and exploring all possible alternatives and also leaving time for feedback and for reality checks from members of the community. It was a broad-based group that allowed for an awful lot of different perspectives, and I think that really mattered. And I agree with Commissioner Fish that where we've landed is a really good balance. Policymaking is often balancing competing interests, and that's certainly the case here. But I feel strongly that we landed in a place that balances these interests well. By putting a cap on the amount of foregone revenue, we're making sure that we can't go too far off in one direction. By reassessing and committing to the values that Commissioner Fish so eloquently stated, We're ensuring that these are being used to achieve goals that are still relevant and important to our community. And by going through each one and making sure that it still worked for the current needs, I feel that we've done a good job of creating a new set of policies that make sense for us in the 21st century. I also would like to acknowledge Commissioner Fish's leadership here. This was a difficult enough process that could easily have gone off the tracks at a number of different times, and it didn't, because we had good communication and because we were committed to achieving the goals that we aligned here. And I will say that I particularly appreciated that during the course of the conversation, as issues emerged, we had the opportunity to consider them and make changes along the way. And I feel the final package is better than some of the interim proposals that were brought along the way. And I also would like to acknowledge the terrific staff work that we got both from the city and from the county in allowing us to get here. So I will be bringing forward the county's version of this on July 19th. And I do expect it's going to get supported at Multnomah County, and I'd encourage you to support it as well. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Okay, great. Thank you.
Love to. Thank you, Mayor Adams, City Council. Tracy Manning, I'm the Director of the Portland Housing Bureau. I'll do a quick introduction here so we can turn it over. Limited tax exemption is one of our most important tools. It's advancing our commitment to bring home ownership within reach of moderate income people and particularly members of communities of color. And then to make sure that our up-and-coming neighborhoods are open to lower-income renters. Our city is continuing to grow and change, and so this tool allows us to capitalize on that growth that's already happening to make sure that it produces high-quality, affordable housing all throughout the city. It aligns with our strategic plan, which identifies affordable rental housing as our number one priority, as well as helping Portlanders from communities of color purchase a home. And those are one of our top investment priorities, as well as reaffirming the Portland Housing Bureau's values of accountable, transparent, and fair processes. So at a time when resources to directly invest in projects are drying up, tools like LTE become even more important to achieve our mission of helping provide every Portlander a safe, decent, and affordable place to call home. Thank you, Commissioner. So, as you heard from Chair Kogan, the process reflects our commitment to working in partnership with Multnomah County, and this was an excellent example of that growing and really effective partnership. And I'm also pleased to report that this process that the Commissioner referenced, these proposals have been broadly discussed with community stakeholders. We had great urging from Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Fritz to take this proposal into the communities that would be most directly impacted that we thought would have some of the greatest questions. And the proposal you see before you today reflects changes that those communities suggested. I think it was an amazing example of community outreach and actually listening to that feedback. So I'll highlight a few of those places for you, the letters that are included in your packet, and then get us moving along. So the Planning and Sustainability Commission has been a terrific partner. They're with us every step of the way. And they've made some very specific suggestions, which are reflected in this recommended update. And you've got a June 19th letter to the council expressing their support of this package and their desire to stay engaged as a partner during the pilot period. And we're quite grateful for their steadfast support. The East Portland Action Plan wrote us a letter in May following a briefing of the Housing Subcommittee to say that they could support the package conditional on some specific recommended refinements. I was able to write back and confirm that we either had been or made changes to incorporate nearly all of their suggestions and received their thanks. The Portland Development Commission shared with us that the leadership of the Portland Development Commission strongly endorses the improvements to the limited tax exemption programs before you today. Executive Director Quinton wrote that the multi-unit program updates will strengthen our ability to equitably revitalize neighborhoods and retain affordability in key locations as they prosper. And you'll see that we took some of their areas of economic development concentration into account in the mapping. And finally, the Portland Housing Advisory Commission, PHB's citizen advisory body, also took generalized stakeholder feedback and provided thoughtful, useful guidance about the process, also suggesting modifications to the initial recommendations, which were consistent with other feedback and incorporated into the final recommendation before you. So I am a bit of an interloper. This has been a 2-year process, and I get to usher the successful part of it through to the end. So I indulge me for a moment to recognize the people that have been carrying this through on my team. Like to recognize Assistant Director Jacob Fox is here with us today, and then our neighborhood housing team, Andrea Mathiason and Dory Van Bockel, have done amazing. I actually didn't know that staff had to write so much code. It was very educational for me, and the incomparable Kate Allen.
Oh my!
Live up to that.
Very happy to be here this afternoon. I'm Kate Allen. I'm a senior policy advisor with the Portland Housing Bureau. I'm going to have a chance to go quickly over the main policy actions that are in front of you and then highlight in particular those things that were improved as a result of public input. So the main policy changes are six important things to say about that. This is a 3-year pilot for the changes that allows us an annual analysis of the outcomes and an opportunity to sync up with the comprehensive plan update when that's completed. We've placed caps on both the programs that are in front of you today. That's the home buyer opportunity and the multi-unit limited tax exemption. Instituted a competitive process for the multi-unit program, should be annual in the first year, and then we'll assess how that works and modify if needed in subsequent years of the 3-year pilot. The new home buyer opportunity limited tax exemption requirements increase alignment with Portland Housing Bureau's investment priority of helping Portlanders from communities of color buy a home. The new multi-unit limited tax exemption is aligned to deliver more affordable housing, rental housing citywide, and advance the Portland Plan equity and prosperity goals citywide. It includes more rigorous base requirements around green building, the inclusion of 60% of median affordability for a minimum of 20% of the units in any project, and incorporates goals around minority women and emerging small business contracting opportunities. Additionally, scoring bonuses in the competitive process are awarded for additional affordability, accessibility, family-sized units where those don't currently exist in adequate supplies, and for projects that meet special housing needs, such as for youth who have transitioned or are transitioning out of foster care system. Important to say that there are no changes to the biggest program of the limited tax exemptions, which is the nonprofit affordable housing program. This, of course, is essential to delivering the deeply affordable unit in partnership with nonprofits. We're proposing no changes to that program at this time. So briefly, since we were in front of you for the council work session in March, we've held, as Director Manning said, more than 20 briefings in the community, which included urban renewal area, advisory committees, neighborhood coalition land use groups, the East Portland Action Plan Housing Subcommittee, and stakeholder meetings for both the single-family home builders and the multi-unit developers. We held briefings for the Multnomah County Board, the Portland Housing Advisory Commission, Planning and Sustainability Commission, bureau directors, and the PDC leadership and council offices. Both the Portland Housing Advisory Commission and the Planning and Sustainability Commission held public hearings and heard public citizen testimony, and both wrote letters of support, as you'd heard. So the Portland Housing Bureau, throughout the communication process, kept an open link for comments and maintained a log, received more than 80 comments. All of those we sort of, for leadership, characterized as to what was the nature of the comment and what would staff propose as a response. So four important program improvements came out of those public insights. First, in the Home Buyer Opportunity Limited Tax Exemption, we propose in the documents you have to exempt from the 100 application cap homes that create long-term affordability for families earning less than 80% of median family income. This is most often achieved through the programs operated by Habitat for Humanity and Proud Ground. Second change, to allow purchase of homes up to the statutorily allowed limit of 120% of annual sales price. At this time, that's $275,000 as a cap on homes that would be eligible under the program. This keeps the most product in the program and increases opportunities for households in markets like North Portland, where prices are on the rise again. Third, in support of East Portland Action Plan goals to increase high-quality mixed-income, mixed-use development along main streets and corridors, the proposals in front of you exempt otherwise qualifying multi-unit developments in Gateway or Lentz urban renewal areas, exempt them from the cap and from competing with other projects citywide. And fourth and finally, in the words of the Planning and Sustainability, with regard to the map, we went big, including eligible areas across the city, which Joe will now describe in more detail.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Joe Zender with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and I'd like to direct your attention to the proposed multi-unit limited-term exemption program map, eligibility map that's in your package. What you're looking at in this map is an approach that tries to take a first cut at identifying neighborhoods that have or potentially could have opportunity, like Commissioner Fish was talking about, to create the chance for multifamily, affordable multifamily units to be developed there. And we focused on two things, our metro designations, which includes the availability of mixed use of multifamily development and access to transit. So what you're seeing on the map are Metro 2040 designated centers and main streets and station areas with transit service. You're also seeing Metro 2040 designated corridors with frequent transit service. And then in addition to those, you're seeing North Vancouver and Williams, which is a corridor that's not a main street or designated main street or corridor, but it has the multi-dwelling mixed-use zoning, and it's part of the interstate urban renewal area. So under the current map, it's part of the program. The one segment that met those criteria that we left out is on Southeast 122nd Avenue, south of Powell. And this was omitted from the eligibility map to address concerns from David Douglas school districts about the amount of tax-exempt property in the school district that's facing both classroom size challenges and fiscal challenges. The area it covers, by using these criteria, most of the neighborhood economic development, neighborhood prosperity initiative, small URAs. Northeast 42nd and Cully didn't have qualifying transit, but all the other ones are included in part. It also includes major parts of the Lentz URA as well as the Gateway URA. So places where we have other tools to do community development, this will help leverage and be part of the mix.
Joe, thanks for your work and the whole team.
Yeah, Mayor, Commissioners, Andre Baugh, Plain Sustainability Commission Chair. The Plain Sustainability has reviewed and recommended for your approval the new map for the combined multi-unit LTE, creating opportunities citywide to leverage and incent private development that advances the Portland Plan's equity, economic prosperity, affordability, and healthy connected neighborhoods city goals. Bottom line, the LTE, what's in front of you today, is aligned with the Portland Plan. We're also pleased that our suggestions through this process, the big look, have been incorporated and they're reflected in what you see today. With the strengthening and alignment of the transparency, accountability, and the recommended program changes before you today, the PSC wishes to play an advisory role for the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability with the Housing Bureau, in involvement in regular or semi-annual review of outcome evaluations. We're going to get out of looking at individual ones and just look at them semi-annually. That's a part of this process. And then lastly, we would like to, and we will collaborate during the comprehensive plan with the planning, with the Housing Bureau, in terms of translating the Portland Plan into the comp plan in that three-year time frame upcoming, so that the comp plan and the Housing Bureau goals that you see in before you today are translated into put in force in the comp plan. And finally, I'd like to acknowledge the effort and diligence of staff, Jill Zender, Uma Christian, and Keen Allen in reviewing these changes. They've been valuable in just working between what our commissioners' concerns were in getting to the Housing Bureau and making the changes and making sure everything worked. And I would just be remiss if I didn't say thank you for the leadership, Commissioner Fish, Fritz, for Chair Coben and Kafori and the big look, allowing me to sit in and participate and listen to my and take our suggestions seriously and address them. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Dustin, before I introduce you, I just want to say that in the process that Kate alluded to of getting additional community feedback, a number of the points that we heard from was an interesting sort of symmetry where our affordable housing community, the home builders, and others were all on the same page about changes that they thought we should make. And that's a happy, circumstance. Really appreciate the care and thought that you gave to the review of these proposals and your thoughtful consideration.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Justin Wood. I am with the Portland Home Builders Association, but I am also a builder with Fish Construction. I've been building with my father-in-law here in Portland for about 12 years, which gives me a little bit of insight both from the Home Builders Association side of things, but also we've built many infill starter homes and used this program ourselves quite often. I want to thank you guys for asking me to come in and talk to you today. We're a big supporter of the LTE program. We figured we've built at least 100 homes that have used the program specifically just under my construction company. As a for-profit builder, we work hand-in-hand, I believe, with the nonprofits to provide a balance of affordable housing to families, both from the profit and the nonprofit side for families to purchase. When the Big Look Committee first released the draft to us, we did initially have some concerns that some of the changes would have a negative effect on the ability to provide a balance of the affordable housing that I mentioned. The initial draft had that the cap of 100 homes with no differentiation between nonprofits or for-profits, and it also had the lowering of the max sales price of the house. And one of our big concerns with the max sales price of the house that we raised was serving to push families further out into outer southeast Portland or outer northeast Portland, where the land was a little bit cheaper. We felt that the income qualifications were the more important issue to make sure that families qualified for the program. After outreach by the Portland Housing Bureau, we reached out to our members and other builders throughout the city. And then after further working with the Housing Bureau and Commissioner Fish's staff and office, we really appreciate the outreach that all you guys did to work with us and include our comments and to take them into consideration. We're happy to say that the proposed changes really do address the concerns we had, and we're happy to support them. By taking the nonprofits out of the 100 homes cap, we don't feel that you're creating an adversarial situation where the nonprofits and the for-profits are kind of going after those same cap numbers. And then by leaving the max sales price where it is now, I don't think you hurt with the ability of families to purchase homes in a little bit nicer areas, which we don't want to just limit them to certain areas. We believe the changes that proposed in front of you support the needs of both the city and the county while allowing the development of affordable homes for both nonprofits and for-profits. And so on behalf of the Home Builders Association and other builders within Portland, we ask you guys to support the changes. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve Messinetti, Executive Director, Habitat for Humanity, Portland Metro East. Mayor Adams, Commissioners, thanks for your diligence and work on this issue. It's a very important one to us. I would like to especially also recognize the staff and public participation process they led. I can't tell you how many times I saw Kate Allen lead this presentation and her remarkable ability to listen and to educate us in the public and to respond. I'd especially say the exemption that's in this recommendation for the nonprofits to be not included in that cap is not just important for us because we're a nonprofit, but in these neighborhoods that we are building in Lentz and Centennial and Outer Southeast, it's really essential that both nonprofits and for-profits are part of the revitalization, and this makes it possible for us to both be there. For example, just this year, before the end of the year, Habitat will have pulled more than 55 permits that all qualify for the LTE. So that would have clearly made it a more competitive process for us. So appreciate that. The LTE program is really essential for the nonprofit housing developers, homeownership developers. As you know, it's very challenging to provide homeownership to low-income and very low-income families in our city. I believe a lot of the inequities stem from the challenge that families face in finding affordable, stable housing across the housing spectrum. And in just the past 5 years, Habitat's built 100 homes, and of those 100 homes, all of which received this exemption, the average MFI of those families was 41%, 80% of the families were families of color, and 40% were single parents. I'd like to provide one quick example of the impact and leverage this program has had. Back in 1998, Nikki Williams was a single mom in her late 20s with an 8-year-old daughter, having grown up in a large family in North Portland. She was a social worker and lived in subsidized housing, making a little over $1,000 a month. That was about 35% MFI back then. She was selected into Habitat's program and purchased a house on North Commercial Avenue. The tax abatement made her house payment about $100 less than it would have been, which is what made it affordable for her family. And I found a quote from Nikki in her file to Habitat 14 years ago that said, "They say that it takes 3 generations to elevate families out of poverty. I'm counting myself as generation number one." Now, Nikki's had a challenging time in her house. She changed careers a few years after she started into the construction industry to get a higher-paying job, then became injured and wasn't able to continue, and attributes her low payment to keeping her and her daughter from becoming homeless. She's now gone on to get her associate's degree from PCC. She more recently has a bachelor's now from Concordia, thanks to a Ford scholarship, and is working on her master's degree. And her tax abatement ended 4 years ago. And I'm proud to say that she hasn't missed a house payment since, even though her house payment's now higher. So this tax abatement is a critical piece of the puzzle for nonprofit homeownership providers. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, we have 2 people, Ted Gilbert and Linda Robinson.
It's drumming.
My name is Ted Gilbert, and I would publicly like to thank Commissioner Fish, Chair Kogan, Kate Allen and her colleagues at the Portland Housing Bureau, the members of the Housing Advisory Commission, for listening with an open mind to the concerns that some of us had, that were concerned that some of the provisions of the original draft had some unintentional consequences for the East Portland areas of Lentz and Gateway. the change that would put them at more of a disadvantage than they already are. The changes that have been presented, and hopefully you will approve today, not only mitigate that, but hopefully will make this a more meaningful program than it already was. So for all those reasons, we're grateful.
He is very persuasive. He's persuaded me and a lot of others also. I'm Linda Robinson. I, too, am a member of the Gateway Urban Renewal Advisory Group and the East Portland Action Plan. And we did have a concern that if a cap was put on and we had to compete within that, that we're having trouble getting builders to even propose affordable, not just affordable housing. We're getting affordable housing. We need some of the market rate housing. We need a better mix. And so we were really concerned that we would not get any of the market rate housing at all if they had to go through that process and that we might not be able to compete with the other areas. So we very much appreciate your making those modifications so that we can hopefully get some good market rate housing mix in Gateway and Lentz.
Fish?
This has been a long and windy road, and really delighted that we're now at this point where we can act on the recommendations. I want to begin by thanking Chair Kogan for not only agreeing to the Big Book process, but for attending all the meetings and actively participating. addition to the team and as a former planning commission member, brought a perspective that was, I think, very important to our work and to County Commissioner Deborah McCoy. I also want to thank Chair Baugh and the senior staff of Planning and Sustainability and Kate Allen and the superb staff of the Portland House Bureau. And I guess in particular, I want to thank Kate because this process could have gotten off the tracks in a number of junctures. And she kept us focused, kept us on task. And frankly, we had all these scheduled meetings, but we actually had another set of meetings, which we had to call, which were the pre-scheduled meetings, which we had to remind everybody where we were. Because it was so mind-numbingly complicated, we had to do a little refresher course before each meeting. I've had the pleasure of working with Kate, and she served as the Housing Policy Coordinator for the city in my office. Now I've had the pleasure over the last 2 years of working with her in this capacity. Kate, you did a superb job, and heartfelt thank you. We're very proud of you and your work. And I want to also just acknowledge that my friend Linda Nedokoban came to see me at one point and was discussing sort of our public outreach. And my view about public outreach is no matter how you do it, you can always do it better. And so we are very open to hearing suggestions about how to do it on a more robust level and hear more voices. But I was particularly pleased in this exercise that we were able to engage so many voices. And not just Oregon On and our PHAC and Planning Sustainability and PDC, but also individuals like Ted and Linda, EPAP, the home builders, for-profit, non-profit developers, and on and on. And through that process, we learned that we could make a good proposal even better. I'm particularly pleased with the four changes that you made that culminate in this proposal, because I think they're the product of a lot of listening, a lot of flexibility, guided by the values that we started with, but ultimately getting to a better product. And I hope people take from that we are sincerely interested in engaging our stakeholders and doing the best we can. Thanks to everyone who took time today to come out and testify. Thank you for the work that you do every day in our city. To my colleagues, I appreciate the concern and interest that you've shown in this subject. Each of my colleagues have had separate briefings on this and have asked some tough questions. I really appreciate your commitment to our work. It is not easy to house people priced out of the market today. And our traditional tools, particularly things like general fund, TIF, federal funds, state funds, they're not going to grow in the near term. They're all shrinking. So to get the job done, we have to be as creative as possible. And this is one tool. It's a tool that is quite misunderstood by the public. And I hope through this exercise that we've done a better job explaining why this is a valuable tool. But I want to just restate something which is a profound truth at the heart of what we do. With the kind of vacancy rate we have in this city, which is practically historic, and with rising rents, the one thing we know, and don't take my word for it, ask Dan Saltzman, Commissioner of the Bureau of Development Services, one thing we know is that there is going to be a lot of market rate housing built in our city. People are taking permits out and they're building market rate housing. What we also know is unless we have a tool like limited tax exemptions, we will not be able to get affordable units. And that's the reality. And this housing is going into very desirable areas, in transit corridors, in strong neighborhoods throughout the city. Without this tool, we will not be able to put affordable units in those buildings. And we have balanced that against another concern, which is the cost to the taxpayers and foregone revenue, a concern the county has had. I think we got the mics back.
Start over.
No.
I'll leave.
So we are trying to balance a number of things. And I'm sure that that there are a lot of people in the community who might have preferred the line being here or there or there. In my view, we've struck the right balance. And I think the proof today is that this broad coalition has come forward and said they support this package. So to everyone who made this day possible, thank you. And particularly to Kate and her team, great work. And I'm pleased to vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I
very supportive of this program. I do think the capping of the foregone revenues is a wise move, and certainly honoring the fiscal obligations that face local governments, city, county, alike. And I particularly want to thank Commissioner Fish and the Policy Review Committee members, Commissioner Fritz, the staff of the Housing Bureau, in particular Kate Allen, who was very helpful to us, and also Hannah Kuhn and Sonia Szymanski of Commissioner Fish's office. And when I say helpful to us, I mean I'm appreciative of the fact that I was able to flag an issue last time in March about maybe adding a bonus for those who are building units that would support youth transitioning out of foster care. And so that now is in here, bonus points for housing that addresses vulnerable populations, in particular youth who are transitioning out of foster care, because this is a huge, largely unmet need, that it's probably so huge and unmet that people don't even know how big the problem is. But I know there are developers out there who want to address this, and so this will provide them, you know, one particular type of bonus that they can perhaps win these very limited tax exemptions to do good things with. So again, I'm very pleased to support this, and thanks again to everyone. Aye.
Leonard?
Well, I do think this is good work, and I do think that's an appropriate use of tax abatements. And I would note that, you know, when you're building market rate housing in areas such as Lentz and others that have been identified Cully on the map, that it has the effect, I believe, of raising the property values of all the houses in the area. So the net effect of the tax abatement for a house may actually be nothing or positive if it actually creates higher values in the neighborhood. So I think this is a smart program, and it sounds like Kate Allen deserves a lot of credit for it. So thank you, Kate, for all your work, and Commissioner Fish for bringing it forward, and Commissioner Fritz for assisting. Aye.
Fritz.
This is an example of how this council has worked hard to make the commission form of government work better. And I greatly appreciate Commissioner Fish inviting me to be on the committee from the start and for accepting some of my suggestions. I'm very pleased to see in the new code that one of the criteria for evaluating whether a project can compete is that the applicant has to demonstrate in its minority women, emerging small business, and community engagement plans how the project will help the Portland Housing Bureau achieve the vision contained in Portland Housing Bureau's guiding principles on equity and social justice. I think this is the first time that we've had something in another section of code other than the Office of Equity and Human Rights where we've explicitly called out that we do expect these issues of equity and social justice to be considered in everything the city does from now on, and I very much appreciate that. This morning on the consent agenda, we allocated millions of dollars in federal and local money to housing and shelter. This is another tool in looking at how do we help Portlanders stay here, thrive here, have families here, and become homeowners here. If you look at the maps, they are very much refined and targeted from the previous areas of eligibility so that we've done a much better job, I believe, of looking at where is this actually going to help, where is it needed, and where, as in Gateway and Lentz, is it perhaps not the best tool to use. The community input was outstanding on this in a very short time frame. I particularly appreciate the folks on Williams and Vancouver who, again, have refined where the benefits are available in that area. And also the collaboration with the county. Again, it's an example of how the council and each one of us is committed to working with our jurisdictional partners to get the best benefit for Portlanders. Appreciate the participation of our nonprofit partners and all of us working together to address the extremely challenging issues of affordable housing. Congratulations, Commissioner Fish. Aye.
Thank you.
Adams.
Well, this is a great day for the city's efforts to both improve neighborhoods but fight gentrification. And I want to thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your leadership on this issue. This is a vast improvement over existing city policy. Also would thank the Policy Review Committee, the good folks at the Bureau of Housing, and everyone else who had input into it, and Commissioner Fritz for her work on this the entire way. This is a maybe complicated for most, but this is a very, very important tool to fight gentrification but improve neighborhoods. So thank you. Aye. Commissioner Fish?
I also just wanted, in closing, to thank Sonia Schmansky from my office, Jenny Kalis, and Hannah Kuhn. They all did double and triple duty, and thanks for your stalwart work throughout.
Round of applause for everybody. Thank you. All right, we have a a 3.75-minute break.
5.73.
That's not 13 minutes, Commissioner. That's not 30 minutes.
Three and four.
How much was it?